Good morning. Wake up, HCC. It is Cris Oviedo. Let me take a breath. It is that kind of morning today. Today is, I don't even know what day today is. Today is Wednesday, January 22nd, and I literally just made it into work. Like, you know, I usually get here right around 8:20, sometimes 8:15. I like to give myself good time to just come here and settle. Well, today I didn't have any of that. Mm-mm. Today it was just it was one of those days where you're tired and the alarm goes off and you're like, just two more minutes. I just need five more minutes. So you hit, or you think you hit the snooze button. Uh-oh. And end up hitting the stop button.
Oh no.
And next thing you know, your daughter's coming into your room and being like, do we have a 2-hour delay or something? And you're like, yeah, no, why? And yeah, it's already 7:30 and that's the time you needed to be out of the house by. Mm-hmm. And so that's what my morning was like, you know. But the funny thing is, I think it's so appropriate. Mm-hmm. For the guests that I have with me today and what we're going to be talking about this morning, because, I mean, it happens. Mm-hmm. This is life, mm-hmm. right? And I am one of those people, and I will be very honest here, that usually I beat myself over these things. And this morning has been an interesting, kind of like awareness, self-awareness thing that I've been doing, where it's like, okay, so you did this, you're late, rushing's not going to get you there any faster. Like, it's mm-mm. really, if anything's going to shave 30 seconds, right?
Right.
And you're exposing yourself and your kids to having an accident. Mm-hmm. And I've been doing this mantra this year where I, you know, it's like I tell my kids every day when we're driving to school, I'm like, okay, tell me what you're grateful for. Tell me what's your goal for today. Mm-hmm. And let's set kind of like your mindset, kind of like, mm-hmm. but I try to make it a little bit deeper. And I'm like, tell me, you know, connect your body, like your soul, your mind, your heart, mm-hmm. and then come up with something for that day. Right. And I've been really working on something where I was like, where I say to myself, I love myself. I accept myself and I forgive myself, mm-hmm. you know, and the loving part is probably one that comes easier, right? Mm-hmm. Because I think we all know what love is and what it feels like and what we need to do to get there, mm-hmm. kind of. But the acceptance and the forgiveness, especially when I do stuff like today, it's really difficult. Yeah, it's really, really difficult. Mm-hmm. It's really hard. But I realize that that has a lot to do with my mental health and it has a lot to do with how I feel about myself, mm-hmm. and how I project myself to myself and to everybody else. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what we're going to be talking about today. I didn't expect to have a real life situation to more lead into that, the right. conversation, right? Yeah. But I mean, maybe the universe was conspiring for me instead of against me, as I thought, right? When it put all sorts of trucks and cars and just everybody in front of me as I was trying to make it here, even a construction truck. I'm like, guys, please, I just need to get to work on time.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was interesting because I, you know, constantly just kept going in my head. Okay, it's okay. Mm-hmm. It's okay. You know, and remembering those three things that I just said, right? It's okay. It's okay. It's going to be okay. Just forgive yourself. Mm-hmm. Just understand what it is and accept it.
Yeah.
And, you know, Julie is here with me, and Julie is our wonderful host for our show, Healthy Minds. Mm-hmm. And it's a show where we really dive deep into this kind of thoughts, this kind of ideas, and we really try to understand, I think it's our brains and our feelings and how all of that really affects, you know, our lives. And I've been learning so much, and it you know, to the point that it has inspired me to really come up with this strategy, right?
Right.
Of, you know, self-care in little tiny situations like the one I had this morning. Mm-hmm. And why are we going to talk about this today? Because it's the beginning of the year, mm-hmm. and we usually set resolutions for ourselves. Mm-hmm. But usually resolutions means I'm going to lose weight. Mm-hmm. Like, usually our resolutions are just focused on the outside, right? Mm-hmm. They're focused on sometimes money, which is nothing wrong with it. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with setting those kind of resolutions, but I think we need to look a little bit deeper too, you know. We need to look farther than just how many pounds do I want to lose, or, you know, how much money do I want to save this year, which, again, they are very healthy, and if they're for the right reasons and you're doing them to better yourselves and being very conscious about it, then it's beautiful, and I guarantee you will do it if you have the right mindset and the right heart, really, to go for them. But I really think that we need to look at our mental health also. We need to look at our minds. We need to look at our hearts. Because quite honestly, I feel that if we want to succeed in all of those other resolutions, that's a really good place to start. You know, our minds, our thoughts. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to explore this idea with you, Julie, today of, you know, what that would look like, setting up mental health resolutions kind of thing, you know, like is that even a thing, or can we do that? But before we go and dive deep into that, I really want the people to get to know you a little bit better. Now, on your first podcast, you kind of like gave an introduction, you know, of yourself. Yeah. But why don't we do that again? Why don't we get to know who Julie is and you know, you know, why are you hosting Healthy Minds and doing what you're doing?
Yeah, great. So, hi. Thank you. I'm Julie Murray, and as Chris said, I'm the host of the Healthy Minds podcast, and I kind of landed on this. Has it been 2 years? I was trying to decide. Am I starting my second year?
Yeah.
So ridiculous. Time goes so fast when you get old. I was working with 16 to 25-year-olds with severe mental illnesses in a residential setting. And then I switched to the community, and then I switched to the preventative side. So outreach and education, I was trying to find folks before they maybe needed our services, and letting people know, one, that you have mental health because you have a brain. A lot of people think, oh, mental health, I don't have that.
Right.
Well, then you don't have a brain. You know, I was trying to get out there. I was trying to spread the word. And I found out that a partner organization had a podcast with HCC. And I was like, that sounds like so much fun. I love listening to podcasts. And a lot of my clients at the time were super interested in coming in and working and sharing with us how that was going to go. So that's what I was doing then. I finished my master's degree and I went on to teach. I actually teach at AACC or Anne Arundel Community College. And I'm also on the board for the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention here in Maryland. So I help coordinate the trainings and such that we do for the state of Maryland there. And I think that's all of my jobs. Oh, I also teach at Capella University. I'm working on my PhD. There we go.
Okay. There you go. Busy woman.
Yes. Yes. And I like to let people know, because sometimes they get a little defensive when somebody's talking to them about this. I am certainly not perfect. I was also running late. I was also stressed. And it's really about how you're approaching things and what you're doing to maybe kind of take care of yourself.
And I love what you said at the beginning. You said, you know, mental health, people think that they don't have it, right? We have this idea, we have this stigma really of mental health as, if you're having issues, then you have to look at mental health. Like if you're having, if you're feeling depressed and anxious, or if there's something wrong, that's when you need to look at mental health.
Right.
And I really want to challenge everybody to look at it very differently.
Yeah.
And, you know, as you said, prevent, right? Prevent and be aware of the fact that mental health is there. Like you've had it since you were born because, as you said, you have a brain. So you need to be aware of it, and you need to, just like your health, like your, I guess, body health, I guess we can call it, right? You have to be mindful of it. Like you have to pay attention to it. You have to pay attention to yourself. We are in this society where it's like, you just got to push through. You just got to push through. It's almost like we push our mental health to the side. And it's like, you just got to be a strong person no matter what and deal with life, right? And in my opinion, that's not healthy.
That's not life.
I mean, you know, how do we go about that? When society, when everything and everybody is just trying to tell us, push through, push through. Just, you know, you can do this. You're going to be okay. Just be strong. I mean, how do we fight back on that? And how do we take a healthier perspective to that kind of thing?
Yeah, yeah. So this has been a huge shift for me in the last, I'm going to say, year and a half or 2 years as well. So when I started my PhD program, that required a lot of shuffling and reframing of the way I was looking at things. So that's actually one of my soapboxes. I'm so excited that you also want to talk about this. but that America in particular is very like outcome oriented, very work focused. So when you say, you know, hi, nice to meet you, you're going to introduce yourself with your job title.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
but
absolutely.
Probably nothing else. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So everybody that was just listening to my laundry list of nonsense that I get up to on like a weekly basis was probably like, oh, wow, or whatever. Like I've had people be really intimidated. I'm like,
and we measure people based on that. It's if you have a lot of titles, wow, this is somebody worth of respect, and it's like somebody who's really accomplished and must be really, really happy, because we measure, you know, and we equal those accomplishments with happiness.
Yeah.
And I personally think that that's not true.
Yeah.
And then, you know, on the other hand, it's like if you don't have any of them, then it's like, oh, poor you. Right.
Yeah,
like,
what are you going to do?
Like we almost look down on people when they don't have that stuff. Yeah. So, I love what you're saying here. Yeah.
Good. So with this shift, I had to kind of recognize, one, that I'm a human being and that surprised you're a human being and surprised everybody else is a human being. I know it sounds really dumb, but it takes a lot of kind of like internal work to realize this. So I'm going to use your driving as an example today. And I don't mean in a bad way. Okay. So.
But I passed you when you were in 29. Right. And I said you were driving erratically.
No. No. So how many of us have been driving or riding along and somebody like zips past us real fast or accidentally cuts us off or something? And we're like, oh, what a jerk.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. Now, how many of us have been in Crystal's shoes or my shoes where you're like, oh my God, I just have to get to work. I'm going to be late. I have such an important meeting. And you're like, sorry, as you're driving like an idiot. I mean,
and you're talking to everybody.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like, you know what I do? I go peace sign. You know, I'm running late when I go peace sign. When it's a full hand, I'm on time. I'm okay. When it's a peace sign,
you know, you're feeling it. Yep. Okay. Yeah. I like how you reduce your amount of fingers to make that happen. I don't have time for the whole hand. So I encourage you to think about other people as human beings. And I know, again, that sounds really trite, but it's given me a lot of permission to be more flexible with individuals, including my students. Right. Because we're very like, there's the deadline, whatever.
Yeah.
But I tell my students all the time, if they let me know ahead of time if something's going on, and it's not like, you know, I drop my grilled cheese. It's more like, you know, I'm really sick or I've been so stressed and I haven't been able to do it. Is there any way I can get it to you tonight at midnight? Yeah. I have goofed stuff up. I have missed assignments before. Like I'm a human being.
Yeah.
Even your professor has turned stuff in late or gotten C's on things. Like it happens, you know?
Right.
And so looking for that human connection is integral. And it really helps you be less mad at people, which is healthier for you overall. Because, you know, all right, so somebody actually almost ran into me on 100 this morning because they weren't looking and they pulled into the thing. I was able to not get my car hit. Very nice. I'm appreciative.
Yeah.
But I could have been like, and let that ruin my whole day. Yes. Or I could have said, oops, I have definitely made some questionable decisions while driving before because I've been very singularly focused on something.
Right.
And so that's one of my first kind of tips is to remember that we're all human, and that really freed me up to not be so hard on myself, but also other people, because I was like, oh, Chris has never been late a day in her life, right? Right?
Because I was like, never. Yeah, yeah,
right,
yeah.
Right. Of course. I was like, I'm going to be 2 minutes late.
This is the one day that.
Yeah. It's your first imperfection, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I guarantee you the person you're talking to or mad at or whatever, admiring, has experienced the exact same stuff as you.
Yeah.
Maybe not like the exact sequence of events, but they've been late, they've been stressed, they've been muttering at their children, although maybe it was nice things, but you know, they've been in your shoes.
Right.
And I try to remember that as I go throughout my day. And I also like to share that with other people, whether or not they want to listen to me, that's fine. I don't take it personally.
Right.
So yeah. So let's back up a little bit and talk about maybe like overall intentions.
Yes, please. Let's do that. You know, but before, you know, yeah, I just do want to say that, you know, I started saying what I'm telling myself, right? Like I love, yes, I accept, and I respect, yes, myself. And the next step on that, because it's a three part thing, mm-hmm, right? Then I go and I look at the others and I'm like, I love them, mm-hmm, I accept them, and mm-hmm, I respect them, because that validates what you were,
yeah,
just saying.
Yeah.
They're human too. They're, yeah, going through their own processes. They're going through their own interactions with the world and with themselves, because, mm-hmm, let's be honest. I mean, our first interaction and the first person that we need to try to understand is ourselves.
Yep.
You know,
yep,
I mean, that's, yep, where it all starts. And, yeah, and it's really difficult. And being honest, I, mm-hmm, think that one of the hardest things, sometimes you can be honest, especially with other people. Like, mm-hmm, you can just either tell them what they did really good or what they did really bad. No, yep, problem. Yep. You know, no, yeah, problem. You can, yeah, go, yeah, and say, really praise somebody or really hurt somebody with, you know, yeah, yeah, you need, yeah, to do better at this, right?
Yeah.
But then when we look at ourselves, mm-hmm, and we have to do that with ourselves, mm-hmm, we immediately go and make excuses.
Yeah.
And we immediately go and just be like, well, I did this because, mm-hmm, you know, and mm-hmm, we go into this pattern of, yeah, yeah, well, it's okay, right? And we kind of, mm-hmm, like, and it's not that we forgive ourselves, it's just, mm-hmm, that we are kind of like masquerading, if we can say that,
mm-hmm,
you know, to just feel better.
Yep.
When what we really need to do is have those deep, yes, deep conversations and just be like, okay, I know you're struggling here. Mm-hmm. I know you're hurting here.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? Let's figure out why.
Yeah.
And once we know that, mm-hmm, why, we can work on, yes, you know, getting you to the next
right,
point, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's that holding yourself, you know, with your hands and, mm-hmm, and embracing yourself. Mm-hmm. And it's so difficult to get there.
Yeah.
It's a process, yes, and it's not like you do it once and
done. Right,
I'm, yeah, perfect now. Never late again.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not. It's a process that in life brings new things to you. Mm-hmm. And you know, I wasn't a mom 16 years ago, and I didn't have a teenager just a few years ago, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And now I have two teenagers at home. So that's a situation that I can't say that I was necessarily fully prepared to handle. I've never had it before.
Is, but yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I've never had it before. And even though I have a teenage daughter who is 16, now I have a boy who's 12 and is just hitting all of those rocking moments that are just really, you know,
teenage,
rocking my life, right?
Yeah.
I thought I was going to be better prepared because of the experience that I had with my daughter,
mm-hmm,
but that is not true. Mm-hmm. That is, I'm, mm-hmm, finding that that's totally not the case.
Mm-hmm.
What he needs and what my daughter needed, yes, are very different things.
Yes.
And, yeah, for me to be able to recognize that and understand that was, mm-hmm, a difficult process, internal process,
yeah,
that I had to go through.
Yes.
So I want to, you know, bring that mindset into that conversation. I know you wanted to backtrack and really look at, you know, mm-hmm, mental health and I want to take that inside, you know, like,
yeah,
I really wanted to not put it out there because, yes, we need to be aware of the others, mm, but I really do feel on my personal journey,
yeah,
at least I've come to feel and realize that, mm-hmm, the stronger I can get myself to, mm-hmm, be, and the better I can get myself to understand,
mm-hmm,
myself,
mm-hmm,
then the better person I can be for those around me.
Yeah.
So can, yeah, we, yeah, explore that a,
yeah,
little bit?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So when I say we're all human, absolutely, we're all human, but it starts with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been kind of touching on it. So you're talking about forgiveness, right? For, mm-hmm, for your imperfections, I'm assuming,
mm-hmm,
which are, and I'm going to just go ahead and assume, because from my personal experience, are daily mistakes,
yeah,
right?
Right.
And you're like, oh, I shouldn't have said that, or, you know, or come back and smacks you later, right? You're like,
right,
why?
Right.
Why did I do that?
Right. Like, exactly.
And so we start with the we're all human. But that was my permission to be less than perfect, because that is something. So I have a family history of being overachievers. Right. So I am like the seventh person or something to have a master's degree in my family. Like, there's a lot of expectations in my family that I've grown up with, that I have put on me, but then I've internalized, right? And so there's a lot that I'm doing, mm-hmm, on a daily basis that I'm like, what am I doing? Why am I, like, I'm thinking about this presentation I gave yesterday, and I said something, and it was like an off-the-hand joke kind of thing, and I was like, I shouldn't have used those words, right? And, mm-hmm, I was thinking about that on my drive-in. So all I can do is say, well, nobody took it the way you're taking it. You're overthinking it, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're all human.
Mm-hmm.
They have definitely said weird things before. you will say weird things again, Julie. Like, it's just going to happen.
Right.
You don't need to overthink, beat yourself up. You can give yourself permission to be mm-hmm. human. So I think that's really important because, like you said, it does start within. But sometimes it's too hard and you need to start outwards and then work your way in. And so, you know, if you're worried about somebody or if you're mad at someone, it can take a really quick shift to be like, they're a whole human being living their life just like I am. Let me just sit with that for a second. Because when you start, it depends. Some people aren't comfortable starting in and then going out. They need to start out and then go in.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So I
and that's beautiful to remember, you know.
Yeah.
I love what you just said, where we can just accept that that other person is having their own experiences and going through stuff that we, I mean, we, even if they come and tell us, we still don't know the whole story. Of the whole story. So, you know, to just sit there and accept that and kind of like let it flow and let it be. Mm-hmm. I think that that's a beautiful place to start. And I love that you said that you can start either from within or from outside. I never had made that connection before. Oh, so okay. thanks for bringing that.
Yeah, of course.
So how do we understand mental health? You know, because I mean, let's backtrack really.
Okay.
But how do we start? How do we understand mental health? Because as we said at first, we think of it as a stigma, as a negative thing. Mm. And unless you need help, then you don't need to look at it. Right.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So let's go back to
let's
that.
Let's go back. Building blocks. I love it. All right. So if you've never heard of mental health before, here's your 101 description. So mental health, I really like to think of as like a whole spectrum, right? So if you're watching along, you can see me in my hands. If not, just envision a line like you would a number line in math. And so we all have bad days and good days, right? We go up and down. Sometimes I call it the roller coaster of mental health, right? And the more aware of yourself that you get, you don't stop experiencing things, but you give yourself permission to feel these things. And it's not, you don't spend all that time overthinking or dwelling and making it worse. You're not compounding it, if that makes sense. So where we talk about mental health issues or problems is where it starts to disrupt your daily life. So school, work, relationships, or like things you need to do, like take a shower, get dressed, clean the house, that kind of stuff. So those are areas, that's pretty much the one diagnostic criteria that holds true across all the different diagnoses, is how much disruption or distress is this causing you? And so you and I could have the exact same level of anxiety. And for me, it's interrupting my ability to like talk again because I'm so anxious about what I'm going to say. For you, you're handling it and you've got it. So it's really a weird, unique thing.
Interesting.
And it's not a perfect science. It is a science, but it's not a perfect science. It's not as easy as, you know, we add this and this and now it's purple kind of thing. It's very much like subjective. So what is your experience of it? How much distress does this cause you? How much disruption is it causing you? But mental health, we'll back up even further, not get into the problems, but it's important to talk about that because it is a spectrum.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
I think that's the idea that everybody has of mental health.
Right. They go,
we go straight to depression, problems, anxiety and the problems, all of the problems. That's mental health.
Right.
What
we have
is
the
it,
rest
right?
of all this whole spectrum.
So let's let's expand it. Yeah. Let's open up that.
Yeah. So you have good days. You have bad days. Mm-hmm. You have good minutes. You have good bad minutes. I mean, it can really be up and down. And what we're talking about mental health is your like feelings, your experience emotionally of what's going on internally and externally. Right. So you could be super good at faking it. You could have a smile on your face. And inside you're really hurting, right? And it could be for a lot of things, right? So maybe it's not appropriate to cry at work or whatever. And by the way, I don't believe that, but that's okay. You know, you've like your external and internal aren't necessarily matching. That's okay. And I think we can all agree there are things that would make us more upset than, and they're pretty like similar because we're all human, right? So if we've lost something, right? A person, a pet, a job, a grade, a game, you know, whatever it is, right? Your hobby, your freedom, your health, right? We all pretty like uniformly will experience loss and grief and bereavement, right? And, you know, that's normal, right? I think a lot of kind of we were talking about earlier, America's like, let's iron that all out. And everybody should exist on this one line. This is your acceptable emotions.
Right.
I don't agree with that. And
cry it out one day.
Yeah.
Take your one day and move on.
Or an hour or 1 minute. Like you don't have to lose your whole day to emotion. And I think that's where we're not being taught this stuff as kids. And it's just really important to remember. So the biggest problem I hear about is that people are like, oh, they had a bad morning because mm-hmm. somebody almost squished them with a car, or they were running late, or both, right? And then they let that flavor their whole day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if that's you, which it might be, that was me a couple of years ago, right? Where one, you know, I woke up on the wrong side of the bed and I was on the wrong side of the bed the whole day, right? Mm-hmm. Is that it doesn't have to be, but if it is, tomorrow's a new day, right? So refresh, reset, and move forward. Mm-hmm. And all you can do is move forward. You can't change the past, right? So all you can do is go, all right, now I've learned, maybe I should take a beat before I say something, or that I should have two alarms set, or, you know, that I'm human being, that I'm a human being and my daughter will wake me up and it's not a big deal because my guest was also running late and she was sitting here and we got the technology working on time. Like, no big deal, right? So all you can do is give yourself permission to be human mm-hmm. and just kind of reset. So when I worked with the very far side of the severe spectrum,
right?
Some of my clients would say stuff like, you know, I don't know how to get out of this loop, right? Mm-hmm. And I've talked about that before. You're welcome to go check out some of the previous episodes if you haven't. But if you're in this negative loop of like, well, I'm a bad person, so I do bad things, so I'm a bad person, so I do, you know, whatever.
Yeah. And you can't get out of it.
Right, you can't get out. Give yourself a set amount of time that you're going to do that and then tell yourself, okay, I'm doing something different. And then physically go do something different. So, I'll talk about it in the procrastination episode coming up too. But let's say you're procrastinating and you've been doing it for like 30 minutes or something and it's now 5:37 p.m. At 6 o'clock, you must stand up and go do something different. So you can still give yourself time to wallow.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe it doesn't need to be, you know, 23 minutes. But you can, at 5:40, I'm going to get up and I'm going to go do something different. And it doesn't have to even be what you're supposed to be doing, if that makes sense. Just go do something different. So that you can get back on track, if that
get
makes
out
sense.
Of that loop.
Yes. Yeah. So that's, you know,
that
how you break your loop.
Wow.
And so that's what
that's
I use
powerful.
For emotions
yeah.
too. So if I'm having a really crummy day, I tell myself, okay, you can have a crummy day for 5 more minutes and then you need to go do something else or think about something else because, you know, you don't need to be stuck in this loop, right? Because all it's going to do is make it worse. You're looping, but you're also digging down.
Yeah. And the longer you stay there, the deeper it gets.
Yes.
It just gets deeper and deeper and deeper.
Yes.
I've been there.
Yeah.
You know,
We all have. We're all human, right?
We all have our moments. We all have our days.
Yeah.
And that was part of my struggle this morning. How do I make sure that this does not just damper the rest of my day, you know, where I know that I should have woken up, right? I needed to do this and get upset at myself because it's really easy for me to go there because that's my pattern.
Yep.
That's what I've done before. So for me to break it this morning, as I said, as I told you, as I was driving, I was having this conversation in my brain, you know, where it was like, well, it's okay, you were tired, so just understand that your body needed that extra and you're still kind of like on time.
It's okay,
right?
We got this.
So exactly, but it was it was that constant back and forth. It was almost like, you know, that little picture that they put where they have the little angel and the devil, and it was like, oh no, you're bad.
Yeah.
No, but it's okay. Take a breath, right? I was literally having that moment this
morning. And
that's
okay. Yeah,
you know, because that's where I am in my process.
Yep.
Right. Mm-hmm. I'm not all angelic yet.
No.
You know, and my devil comes in very strong and is like, oh, you did bad, and you and blame you and shame you and make you feel bad about instead of snooze, which
I've
is not the end of the world.
No,
you know, at the end of the day, it's not the end of the world. Right. It has consequences, and I was really rushing, and I got here, and I was like, I'm here. You know, like, it was hard
you
to
were.
Breathe. But I made it, right? Right?
Yeah.
And now the next step for me is get past that, right? And accept it and forgive myself and give myself permission to just carry on with my day.
Yeah.
So, and that's what you just said, because otherwise I will allow that to just continue to spiral down, and then it will trickle down. And and that's the thing. Like, if I stay there, it's definitely going to affect my kids.
Yes.
Because by the time I go pick them up, I'm going to be in such a bad mood that I will not be ready to engage with them in a healthy way.
Yep. And it could affect Brendan, and it could affect,
that's
you know,
why
other
Brendan
people.
Sits away from me.
could affect everybody you interact with, because all of us are carrying our baggage around all day. And so, you know, that's why I always say we're all human, right? So if somebody's being especially grumpy or something, I try to say, they probably were Russian or something this morning, or I relate to something I've done very recently, because again, I'm not perfect, right? So you shouldn't have said that joke, or you should have left earlier, or, you know, you should have been more aggressive and merging into, you know, 29 South exit, or, you know, whatever is tripping you up. You, if you give them that story, it makes you a lot more empathetic, which is important.
Yeah.
Since we're all human.
Absolutely.
Okay. So overall mental health goals, you talked about having affirmations. Those are great. Or mantras, as you called them, whatever works for you. I find those really helpful to have little pockets of wisdom for yourself for when you're having a tough time. So mine is, we're all human. You might have guessed that at our conversation this morning. So just remembering that, again, it's permission for myself, but other people, to be a human being, right? You've got three different great ones I love, and I love that you share them / force them on your children. and it's great that you're talking about it, because it's showing your kids that it's okay to talk about mental health. Yeah. And again, many of us aren't raised to talk about our mental health. We're said, you know, don't cry. You know, you're being hysterical. You know, real men don't. Big girls this. Wear your big girl panties. Like, I mean, think of all these things. I mean, if you reflect, you're going to be like, what?
Right.
You're going to go down a hole here.
Right.
And so first off, you're allowed to feel feelings. Feelings are good for you. You need to process them. If you bottle them up, it physically impacts you. Mental health and physical health go together. There's been some really great studies done about the effect of stress on the body. And when I say great, I don't mean great news for us. I mean, like, really powerful looks at things. So, like, higher rates of heart disease, cancer, diabetes, prenatal complications, substance use, lower educational outcomes, lower relationship satisfaction, all sorts of different things, higher rates of, like, learning disabilities. I mean, there's so many different things. Stress literally can kill us. And so is it going to be that dramatic? Probably not for the average person, but you're poisoning your system if you're highly stressed all the time, which is what I was hoping to get a chance to talk about, this, like, idea. We kind of touched on it, like, America's very, like, outcome focused, work focused. Try to recreate your identity a little bit so that it's not dependent on the job, or your student role or whatever, because that's temporary. You're only going to be doing that for a couple of years,
right?
Likely. Most people are switching jobs every couple of years,
or even motherhood, you know, like, I that's something that I discovered about myself not too long ago, that when somebody asked me, you know, what are you? Like, I didn't even go to my work. I just went you know, the first thing that I went to was my mom. I am a mom, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's how I was defining myself. And I'm still going through that shift of, I am more than just a mom, right?
Yeah.
And my kids are going to be with me for the rest of my life, but they're only going to be, like, my responsibility.
Yeah.
And it's really, you know, also to even go a little deeper with that is, like, to really understand that at the end of the day, they are their own person. They are their own humans.
Yeah.
And yes, I'm there kind of guiding them, but my job really is not to tell them what to do or, you know, it's kind of like give them tools for them to then go and be themselves. Right.
Yeah.
And is it going to hurt? Yes, it's going to hurt a lot in the process, because these are your babies, right?
Yeah.
And we as parents can be very attached to them.
Mm.
And like I said, I was defining myself as my mom, you know, by my mom role, and to break from that and understand that that's just one part of me.
Yes, yeah.
I think goes really well with what you were saying of, we define ourselves based on our jobs, based on, you know, this one thing where we feel maybe that we're excelling at, or that we're doing all the time, or that takes up most of our time.
Yep.
And to remember that that's just one little part,
right? Yeah.
And because then we take it really hard when we do something really good or something goes great, then it's like, oh, I am the best. But then when something goes bad, it's like immediately you go to, like, oh, I am the worst.
Yeah.
Right? Because you're letting yourself be defined by that.
Right. And, you know, I hope it never happens to you, but if you lose your job, then who are you?
Right.
Who are you?
Right.
I want to give you permission to say that you're a mom, because you are a mom.
Right.
And you should say your job, but you need to say more than your job. And I know a lot of people aren't prepared for, like, a whole paragraph introduction, like, hi, I'm Julie, blah, 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 right? And I did this myself in our introductions where I didn't say the stuff I'm doing that isn't work or school related, right? My podcast is normally a fun fact that I like to share because people are like, oh, like, tell me more about that. I'm like, it's really fun. People listen to me, maybe. I don't know. So, but you should also include some of that other stuff. Like, I always like to throw a fun fact in, like, and I really love to hike, or when I'm not doing that, I'm playing Frisbee with my dogs, or just something else to add to give someone a little bit more of a flavor. You're more than your job. You're more than a mom. You're more than a student, because a lot of people are students and have similar jobs and are moms and stuff. So, like, add your unique flavoring a little bit.
Right.
So my conference bios and speaking bios always have a goofy little line in there. Something. Normally it's something like, if I'm not doing that, I'm playing Frisbee with my dog, or baking stuff with chocolate and peanut butter, or, you know, whatever is striking my fancy when I send that in. But I think it's important that we do that and follow up on it. So it's going to take retraining people and yourself. We're all human.
Right.
So that when you introduce yourself next time, you'd be like, hi, I'm Julie. Here's the most relevant job, maybe. Also, I like to read. And then be like, what about you? And so people normally kind of light up a little bit when they're asked fun questions. And I know it feels weird and you might feel awkward, but it gets easier when you practice. So I encourage you to just kind of follow up a little bit.
Yeah.
What else do you do?
Right.
What do you like to do in your free time? Super simple, but it's valuing the whole human.
Right.
You get to know a little bit more about them. It gives you permission to have more fun and talk about some fun stuff, because I bet you guys do some cool things. I'm always surprised when I ask my guests to do their self-care send-off at the end. My favorite was this one was like, I hula hoop. And I was like, what? It's like, I don't know if I've touched a hula hoop in, like, you know, 15 years. But it flashed me back to, like, hula hooping around with my feet in the grass. Like, it just gave me such pleasant memories. I was so pleased that I asked this question and learned this about them, because how whimsical, right?
Right.
And it gave me some pleasant memories too.
Right.
And then my big goal that I would recommend everybody do, and this is not ideal, I shouldn't be telling you what to do, but is that you know when you're stressed or when you're having a bad day, so that you can break the negative loop. So you need to do some investigation and practice some insight and know. So I was cracking up because you were like, peace sign. I was like, oh, what a good warning sign for you to know that you're probably feeling a little stressed. So for me, I tend to talk a lot faster, or I start to feel like a tension headache kind of come up, and then I'll say, oh, you need a second. Right. And I'll go do whatever makes me feel good. Normally it's taking a quick breath and not looking at anybody. Like, I just recenter myself. I look at a wall, so I'm not looking at anyone. And I'm just maybe two or three. Maybe I need more than that. Right. but I just take a couple of seconds. I breathe and I say, you're a human being. They don't know what your 100% is. So if you give 80%, they're probably going to be thrilled. That's fine. And if not, everybody has crummy days, and you can be open and say, I'm having a really stressful day. So forgive me, but do interrupt me if I'm talking too fast. And I've said that before too. And people are always like, oh, okay. Nobody's been like, how dare you, get your stress under control. unacceptable. I expect nothing but perfection. Right.
Right.
Nobody has ever done that to me. So, and I think you're probably, well, you were giggling. That's ridiculous. We wouldn't say that to someone. No, get it together.
Right.
I expect you to be on time, Chris. Well,
because I think that at the end of the day, we all realize and we all know that, as you say, we're all human, right? Mm-hmm. We just expect perfection. We've been conditioned, I think, to expect perfection when it's really the most unrealistic thing that we can expect. How do we break that cycle? How do we, you know, I mean, you said that you constantly remind yourself of that. Is that, like, the best way? Like, should we always be reminding ourselves, or how do we keep that, you know, with us and carry that with us?
So, like I said, I like to always take a second and think, what's going on here? Why am I so stressed? Is it because I was running 5 minutes late? This happened to me yesterday in that presentation I was talking about. I was running 5 minutes late. Normally I get about 15 minutes to set up. When I walked in, they were like, go. And I was like, what now? Okay. And I mean, I can do this presentation probably in my sleep. It wasn't knowing the material. It was just that I felt rushed and I felt like maybe I wasn't looking as professional as I would like to. And, you know, I just kind of was like, late and I was feeling funky. So I was like, well, you can't give a grumpy presentation about suicide prevention. That's just not going to go well. So I was like, oh, just 1 second. I have to set up my, I bring materials with me. So I went over and as I was setting up my materials, I was like just breathing for a second to get centered. And then I was like, all right, so all you have to do is get through the next 45 minutes at your normal presentation jazz or whatever. And then you can go be grumpy again if you want. But normally I don't want to be grumpy again. So I don't. Right. So how do we break these loops? We need to be aware of our warning signs. Mm-hmm. Maybe you don't know. Maybe you can't find out. Ask other people. I guarantee you they know when you're being grumpy. And you can say something like, hey, the next time I get stressed and you notice it, pick the right people. But the next time I get stressed, can you let me know what you're seeing either then or later? And I've used this feedback loop before. They call it like 360 feedback. So back when I was a manager, I asked my manager, I asked people on my level, and I asked my employees for feedback about my leadership style. And also like my human being style, as I like to say. So, you know, do you notice if I'm stressed?
Though.
Oh, it is. It was, it was brutal.
That's really hard. You're opening the door for them and say, you're not perfect.
Right.
And that is really scary.
Yeah, it can be. But nobody's perfect.
Yeah.
So that really took a lot of shifting and it took time. So maybe you're listening to this and you're like, this lady's full of it. That's fine. I probably would have said the same thing when I was, you know, in my early 20s. It took me probably the whole way through my 20s to really. So one, your brain's not done growing till it's 25. So it's hard to kind of accomplish a lot before then anyway. And I mean, the internal work can be hard to accomplish, although it's possible. But also give yourself permission because your brain's still growing. But it took me through my 20s to be like, oh, nobody really knows what they're doing. nobody's expecting you really to know what you're doing. And if they are, it's because they're feeling deeply insecure about what they're doing. When people yell, it's not about you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was just a lot of stuff that I had to kind of realize through personal experience. Because I guarantee you somebody, probably my parents or my grandparents or teachers were like, hey, by the way, this is going to happen. And I was like, yeah, and then until I experienced it and had a little light bulb moment, I wasn't able to
recognize it.
Yeah, exactly. So I normally just have to kind of say, like, everything that's happening is not personal. Because our tendency is to take it very personally.
Yep.
But we're all taking our stuff, like if we're carrying our baggage around, we're taking it out on other people unless we're cognizant of what's happening. So I try to tell myself, we're all human. They probably were running late or their kid is sick or their whatever, right? Their job is really stressful right now. So for instance, my boyfriend has been working from like 9 a.m. to like 10 p.m.
Wow. Long days.
Mm-hmm.
Very long days.
For like 2 weeks now, like since he's gone back after the holidays. And I've been like, ugh. I think I just want to hang out with him because I'm about to hit all my busy time. And so I'm cracking up. So last night he came home at 7:30, but where was I? I was not home. I was getting my haircut. I mean, it was just like all these things. And I was like real bummed about it. But then I was like, well, we can hang out when I get home. It'd be like 8:45. We'll hang out for like an hour and I don't have to put so much pressure and expectations like I'm going to see him again. It's not a big deal, you know. And this is what we need is just like a really chill. We're going to be like on the couch, blanket burrito, watching Disney Plus now. I finally caved and got the subscription. But it was just, it was so funny. We put all these pressure and expectations on things. And if we just let them go and kind of experience things and just appreciate it, we're going to be so much more mentally healthy overall. And it's a struggle. Like I probably, well, maybe not, but I feel like I sound very zen at the moment. Like, well, it is, you know. That's not my daily experience, right? Like it takes a lot of work and practice to get to a point where I can say, all right, you're stressed. Big deal. So is everybody else, you know, like just take a couple of breaths and then go do what you need to do. Mm-hmm. And then if you need to be stressed again later, go ahead.
Right.
You don't have to like one and done. You can experience it later. I do really like the time limit thing. I find that really helpful. So I'm especially good at like scrolling through Reddit when I'm supposed to be doing other things. And so
Facebook I'll be, for me.
Yeah, I'll be like, and then I'll be like, all right, well, you get 2 more minutes to scroll through Reddit or check Instagram or something, and then you need to go do something. And it could be as simple as, like, stand up and let the dogs outside. Or, you know, go pick up that thing that's over there that's supposed to be over there, like, and just move it and do one thing. And then if you need to procrastinate again, you can. But you've got to, like, break it up so that you're not doing the negative loop spiral kind of thing. And other than that, I would just say that you really need to break stuff down into big steps. So you can't be like, I'm going to be mentally healthy in 2020. Let me know how that goes. So you need to break it down into like actionable steps. So when I get stressed, I won't let that take over my whole day. I'll break the loop. And then you can decide. I can have 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 30 minutes. And it could be different every day,
right,
depending on your stress level. Right. But you have to break it down into more manageable little goals in order to actually make progress. And then check in on them like every week or 2 weeks or something. How do they do on this? Do I need to tweak it? Is it reasonable for me to never procrastinate again? And again, if you know how to do that, please let me know. but
haven't discovered how to do that yet, right?
Right. I was like, come join me next Tuesday. So it's so important that we recognize we're all human. We're all struggling with our own stuff and the same stuff at the same time. And so nobody's expecting you to be 100% and perfect, and it's just you. Mm-hmm. So let it go.
Yep.
As much as you can. And it takes time, a lot of time. And you were giggling about the 20s comment. the 20s are where you figure out how to be an adult, I feel like. So enjoy it. Be dumb. Make silly decisions. Regret things, because that's how you learn, right?
Right.
So.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Allow yourself to have those imperfect moments, you know, that they're going to... I mean, I don't know if for good or for bad, but they're never going away. You're always going to have them. Nope. They're always going to happen.
Yeah.
No matter how old you are, how wise you are, you're always going to have those moments where you're like, I really could have done better on that one.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, it's just part of life. It's,
Cool beans. Now you know for next time whether or not you use it, right?
Live and learn. That's another one that I like to throw at myself. Is like, just live and learn. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. Julie, it's been really, you know, it's been a wonderful time talking with you and really understanding that mental health is not problems, that mental health is really looking at yourself as a person and your feelings and your emotions and just, I mean, really connecting with them, you know, and accepting them and
moving on.
Yeah. And taking care of them. I did want, I saw that there was at least one comment on here that I wanted to read. It says, Katie says, she says, sadly, we see mental health and look for help means being weak, and we embarrass ourselves and prefer suffering in silence. So if somebody is, as she puts it on there, suffering in silence, and I know you've talked about this on your podcast before, right, where if you are told, if you have a cold, let's not even go to anything, you know, any of the really big illnesses, right? If you just have a cold, if you have something that's just wrong, that you know that is wrong with your body, you're either going to take, you know, medicine, right? Tylenol or something if it's like a slight headache. But then if it stays with you a couple of days, you're going to go look for a doctor, right?
Yep.
Should we and could we do the same thing for mental health? And
100%.
You know, I mean, what are we doing there? Like, and why don't we do that now?
Yeah. So stigma is real. I'm hoping to bring in some stigma experts for our podcast later this year. Maybe we'll have all the answers then. but what we know is you put it so, so well. So we have a cold, right? So we try DayQuil and it's just not working.
Right.
You're like, maybe this is the flu, right?
Right.
So let's think about that mental health. Okay. You're having a bad day. You're like, when I have bad days, I like to eat some chocolate and take a bubble bath, whatever.
That's that self-care.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's how
that's
I
your self-care.
Try to pull myself and feel better.
Yeah.
Right?
So that was your DayQuil.
That was your NyQuil. Yeah.
Some chocolate and a bubble bath. That does not work for colds, FYI. but that was your DayQuil, and it's not working. So you can try a different medication. You could try Sudafed. So let's try something else. Maybe that didn't work. So we're going to try going for a run or talking to a friend.
For me, it would be exercise for sure. Yeah.
Something else. Okay. That's still not working. All right. So you would go see your doctor, right? If you tried two different medications or you tried two different ways to get through a cold or even one way to get through a cold or four ways, whatever. When it doesn't work, we call in the experts. So primary care doctors are an excellent, excellent, excellent gatekeeper for health overall. So you should 100% be talking to your primary care doctor. That was one of my notes I had. We could literally sit here all day and talk about this. But you can tell your primary care doctor, like, I've been feeling down. lately, and my normal bubble bath and chocolate bar or like run with my dog or blanket burrito approach is not working. What do you think I should do? And so they'll talk to you. They'll ask you other questions. They're supposed to be screening you every year for depression and anxiety. A little hit or miss. It's the law.
So what is this like a one of those papers? You know, when my kids were growing up, every year they had like, is he walking? Is he crawling yet? Is he saying any words? Is that something like? Is that kind of like what we're looking
questions,
for?
Nine questions. Okay. PHQ-9. And it's I really like the questions. I just took it a couple months ago at my primary care doctor. I weirded her out a little bit. That's okay. I was like, oh, you're screening me, and she's like, what do you do for a living? And I was like, this is the first time I've been screened. I'm so excited. It's stuff like, in the last 2 weeks, have you felt like down more than usual? Have you worried about things? Have you, you know, so it's just like general questions. There's, I think, 18 altogether. I think it's 9 and 9. And it doesn't take very long. It took me a couple minutes to just yes, no. And it's like all the time, some of the time, a little bit of the time, none of the time, right? So you rate on this scale. One of them was, have you felt like you've been stuck in molasses? And I was like, oh, what a great imagery. So sometimes when people are feeling depressed or anxious or stressed, their body goes the opposite way and they slow way down, right? And so they feel like they're just moving so very slowly, like they're fighting against something really heavy. Or like they're swimming and they're supposed to be walking kind of thing. So if you fill this out, your doctor should then have a conversation with you about it. My doctor was a little alarmed by me, but that's okay. so I was like so excited to talk about it. And she's like, oh, I see, you know, you've been a little bit more anxious than like baseline. And I was like, yeah, I just started a new semester for my PhD program. I'm really stressing about my dissertation, like all reasonable things. And she was like, these are all reasonable things, but if they start to impact you being able to get work done, your relationships, your satisfaction with life, all this stuff, then let's talk again. And I was like, okay. And she's like, and you can email me. Hello. What a beautiful doctor, right? I would love to email everybody.
And, you know, we talked about it at the beginning. We said if it impacts, you know, and I think that, so, you know, based on your conversation with your doctor, and thank you for bringing us into your doctor's appointment with you. That's the key. I mean, that really seems to be the key. It's like, you know, we all go, as you were saying, through this stressful times and we maybe put a lot more on ourselves than we should, right? And we just overbook ourselves. But the important thing is, how are you handling that? Is that impacting your ability, I guess, to really do everything else that you need to do?
Right.
Or are you, you know, feeling it, like they say, right? Like are you feeling it? Are you, but is that, are you still able to manage everything else okay?
Yeah. I mean, that's really the distinction. And it's so subjective. It's so subjective. So like if you were really struggling and then you noticed you were being more short with your kids, that would probably be a huge warning sign for you to be like, oh my gosh, I'm not getting the time in with my kids that I want, or I've been like snapping at them or whatever, right?
Right.
You would probably be like, oh, this is, whoa, this is impacting me, my life and my kid, like other people. I probably should go talk to someone about that, right?
Okay.
And so your primary care doctor is a great way to get in. Of course, you can see a therapist. Of course, you can see a psychiatrist. Sometimes it's hard to get in or like try somebody new. You already kind of know your primary care doctor. I just always recommend going there first. And if you haven't had a therapist or a psychiatrist, your doctor will normally have some people that they like. And they'll recommend. So that can be really helpful. Your primary care doctor can also prescribe like antidepressants and anti-anxiety medications. They're not going to mess with it too much. They'll try it on like maybe one or two low doses. But it can be really useful to have that because it can take a while to get in to see other people.
And it can be very scary. You know, I mean, you might be like totally like I you know, I don't want to have then dependency on them to be able to function. And I really suggest that you go back and listen to Your Brain on Meds, one of the most recent episodes from Healthy Minds, because I have to admit that I am a person who, when it comes, you know, all types of medicine, I've never been a medicine person. Never. Like, you, even Tylenol. Like, you know, I'm like, I'd rather go and, if I have like a stomach ache or something, I'd rather go get me some chamomile tea and see if that helps me. And if I'm really, really, really dying in pain, then I'm like, okay, I'll take a Tylenol, right? But like, I am just not a medicine person. So, and it's even scarier for me when it goes to, when it's related to mental health, because I'm like, is that going to create dependency? And is that going to bring problems, you know, different problems, right? Others than the ones that I already have, right? So, So it was, to me at least, listening to the testimony of your guest on that episode, and how, you know, understanding that there's different medicines and that, you know, just because our diagnosis is the same, I might be on one medicine, you might be on a very different medicine, or, you know, the amount that I'm getting is different from what you're getting. And then maybe we go into something else, and guess what? That medicine is not even part of it anymore.
Right.
And we need something totally different now. So it was really enlightening to me. So I, you know, and if you, if you're like me, where you're like, medicine and I just don't see eye to eye kind of thing, and we're not, you know, we know that we exist, but we are on our different paths kind of thing. I mean, just understand that sometimes it might just be the one thing that, that could make that big difference for you, and that it's okay.
Yeah, so, and it's not forever either. And so, you know, sometimes I had a couple of friends that took, like, antidepressants and stuff in, like, high school and, like, beginning of college. They're out of college, and they don't need them anymore. They've weathered their storm, right? And so maybe that's you. Maybe you need to take them longer. But really, like, our bodies change, our circumstances change, our mental health changes. So, you know, just because you're taking medication for, like, a couple of months doesn't mean that you're going to be taking it forever.
And we see it as negative. That's the other thing. We see it as negative.
And it's like, ridiculous.
Well, I'm sick. Well, yeah, but if you had the flu, wouldn't you be taking the medicine? Or if you had
diabetes, you know, shouldn't you be taking your insulin?
Right, exactly. I mean, if you, if you have some sort of infection, they're going to send you antibiotics. Are you not going to take them?
Right. No, no, it's not natural.
Right, exactly.
Okay, enjoy dying like we did in the 1600s.
And it's the same thing for mental health. And, you know, we can just normalize it like that. Because we think, it's like we look down on the people who are taking medicine for mental health. And like, oh, poor you. Well, it's like, well, so am I just supposed to let this spiral and just take over my life? And then, you know, what
it
am I going to do?
Could be deadly.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Absolutely. Yeah. So, so let's just look at it as another type of medicine that you need in order to be okay.
Yep.
In order to get to your best self.
Yep.
Right.
Your overall health.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Because mental health, guess what? It's part of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's absolutely part of it. Is there anything else that I, that you want to touch before we wrap up? And I'm sorry, I've kept you much longer than I told
you. Oh, no, that's okay. I know. I was like, how am I going to wedge this in 30 minutes? So the last thing is that we put a lot of personal responsibility on folks, and we're like, oh, reach out, reach out. So sometimes our brain tricks us and we can't reach out. That's part of it. So really what we need to do is promote a culture of reaching in. So if I was like, Chris, hey, you seem super stressed today, right? You probably would be like, I am, and then talk about it. And then you'd probably feel better. And I'd feel good knowing that I've talked to you and that you're going to be okay kind of thing. So it doesn't need to be a lot. It's super simple to say, hey, is everything okay?
Yeah.
If you want more resources on, like, starting a conversation, I love, love, love seizetheawkward.org. Very funny. It's got all these popular YouTube people. I only know one of them, Billie Eilish. The rest of them, I'm like, I'm an old lady and I don't know what's relevant anymore. My students were like, oh, yeah, that's so-and-so, the YouTuber. I was like, why is that a thing? Is YouTube a thing? Like, I...
I know. It's like my kids come up with all of these things and I'm like, where did you get that YouTube? I'm like,
I don't use YouTube like that, so I'm old.
If I'm looking for a video, then I go to YouTube, but otherwise...
Yeah, I'm over there like Lion King, right?
Right, exactly.
Hakuna Matata. But I'm never just like on YouTube the way I'm on Reddit or Instagram.
Right,
or...
but the kids do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they know all of these YouTubers and all of this thing.
Yeah, so many of these YouTubers that are famous, I guess... are sharing their own personal stories, talking about their friends, talking about the importance of having a conversation. And they talk about how awkward, so seize the awkward, talk about how awkward that weird gap is where you're like, I want to ask you a thing, but I don't want to bother you. And right, I also like, are you going to judge me? Like,
Or give you ideas. That's the other thing that we say.
That's a super, super common myth. You can't give someone the idea. So, because we all know about suicide, we all know about mental health. Like, in some framework, you can't just be like, I'm going to talk about it and I'll give it to you kind of thing.
And that's how we feel, though. We feel like if we ask the question, then suddenly we're popping that idea into your mind. And it's like,
totally
oh my gosh, now it's my fault.
Nope, totally false. Yeah. Totally, totally false. So anyway, it's a great resource. I really recommend it. But really, it's just about having conversations. And instead of saying, hey, how are you doing? You're like, fine. Are you fine? It's okay to have feelings. You can say, I think I saw up there, someone said it's okay not to be okay.
Yeah.
It's okay to not be okay. 100%. I say that a lot as well. Not as much as we're all human, but, you know, I think it's totally fine to be like, I'm really overwhelmed. I've got way too much stuff going on and I am paying for it, but when I get some free time tonight, I'm going to whoosh, you know.
Yeah.
And the other person can be like, oh. And I mean, don't necessarily tell every random stranger you see all of your life story. But I think a little bit of honesty is more important and more impactful because it's giving everyone permission to be human.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. And to have some sort of feelings, you know. Yeah. Like,
they're good. We have them. You can't live right on this line. We go all over the place.
Right.
So.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. And I love that idea. Reach in. Don't just wait for people to reach out, but actually go and reach in. Actually go and check in on people, you know.
Are you okay? I mean, it doesn't have to be like this long. Are you okay?
Yeah.
You don't seem like yourself.
Right.
This is what I've noticed.
Right.
Or
right.
just, are you okay? I mean, it doesn't have to be a lot. Just super three words, right?
Right. Yeah. No, yeah. I like that because that there's a big campaign and it's great. And it's great that we're paying attention to it. And I love that we're really paying attention to it and really trying to be there for each other. Right. Mm-hmm. And there's this campaign where it's like, you know, my phone is open and you can always call me this and that and the other. But then I there's times where I don't know, you just feel right. Like you just like those people that you care about, you just feel that there's something. So maybe it's worth just, like you said, wait for them to come to you. Just go in and reach in and say, I'm here if you need me, you know, and are you okay? And I think that even if you don't get an answer, just knowing that you sent that can make a difference.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
You know, to that person, just receiving that might be like that one little drop of hope maybe that they needed.
Yeah. Or they know for the future, like maybe they're fine now and they just are busy and don't want to answer or whatever. But now they know, oh, hey, Chris asked me that one time if I was okay. So now I know if I'm struggling or whatever that I could reach out. Mm-hmm. But yeah, reach in. I reach out is great. I'm not discounting it.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
I think that reach in is much more important. Because if we just say, oh, reach out or like whatever, oh, they'll let me know if they're struggling, that's like giving yourself permission to not be an active part. Which is why we're seeing maybe such a rise in mental health problems. Everybody's like, oh, well, they'll let me know if it's a problem. But meanwhile, we're like, oh, I have to be 100%. I have to be 100%. I have to be perfect. Can't tell people I'm not. What a secret that I'm not perfect.
Right.
We're all doing this though. Like each and every one of us.
Yeah,
and so
absolutely.
That's why I say reach in. So it feels weird. Yeah, it feels awkward. Mm-hmm. I feel
impulsive
a lot better.
Almost, right? Like you're just imposing yourself there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think it's important. I'll say, hey, is everything okay?
Mm-hmm.
Random strangers, people I know, whatever. And you can think I'm weird. That's fine. But if I see you and you're not okay, I will ask if you're okay. And I think it's important that we have enough people doing that so that people know, oh, I could talk to Julie. I could talk to Chris. And, you know, maybe I could just they could listen to me for a little bit.
Right.
And then if we need extra help, they know where to go. And I mean, it's just that simple. So there's a counseling center here at HCC.
Yeah.
Grassroots is 410-531-6677. Call the 1-800-273-8255.
Yep.
Sorry, it wouldn't be a podcast episode if I didn't roll out a bunch of numbers and resources.
Absolutely. That's exactly how I was going to close. I was going to say, you know, if somebody is in need or just, you know, maybe even want to connect with you.
Yeah, please. Maybe Chris can put on the Facebook page my Instagram handle or email or something. You can always go to the Healthy Minds podcast page, which has all of that stuff in there.
Yep.
I love questions and comments and stuff. So if you have an idea for a future episode or like a burning question, let me know. I'm definitely someone you can reach out to if you're like listening to this and you're like, I'm in a negative loop spiral extravaganza.
Right.
And I need to talk to someone. You can email me. You can Instagram message me. Or you can also go to the counseling center here. You can call Grassroots, the hotline. I mean, there's tons of resources available for you. And again, plug for ccawkward.org. It's so great if you want to learn about how to reach in.
Yep.
Yeah.
Julie, we're going to close the show in the way that you close your show. Which is, it's kind of like your I don't know. How do you call it? Your healthy send-off?
My self-care send-off.
Self-care send-off.
Yeah.
So tell us what that is.
Okay.
And if you guys listen to Julie's show, I know that you're familiar with it. Mm-hmm. But this is how she always closes her show. And I think it's great because after talking many times about really heavy topics, it's a really nice way to just kind of like breathe in and breathe out and think of even I've taken a couple of ideas actually from the show and
been
like,
good.
Oh, that sounds very nice.
I know. So one of them was hula hooping.
Yeah.
Great. I was like, what on earth?
Journaling was another one that I was like really like it surprised me.
Yeah.
As a self care thing. I was like,
it's really good.
Yeah.
So my self care send off, I'll just tell you what I did on Monday, I don't even know what day it is. I'm also like, okay. On Monday, I went with my friend and we got pedicures, but we did it through AACC. I'm going to let out my secret and I'm never going to get another appointment. So AACC has a nail technician program where they do free manicures and pedicures for practice. I know. It's amazing.
Oh, wow.
So I went and I got a rainbow pedicure. So each one of my toes is a different color. I look like I have Skittles on my toenails. And I smile a lot when I see it. I just think it's really fun and exciting. And it's kind of like a little secret because, you know, it's cold. So my feet are covered.
Right.
And my friend was the one that inspired me. She was like, I want a rainbow pedicure. And I was like, what? That's so great. So I got one. So I just want you to find something small that you can find joy in. So mine is my Skittle toes. yours can be whatever makes you happy. So maybe you just want to take an extra minute and remember something that made you happy, or you want to find a moment of joy in your day. So if you're having a bad day, you're running late, you can reflect back on a vacation, or you can think about something a friend said to you that was really nice, or you can make plans to do something nice for a friend, which also brings a lot of joy, I feel like, to, you know, slip them a chocolate bar or something. Like, doesn't have to be a big, it doesn't have to be a lot.
Right.
That could be free, like, but just find some joy in your day. Yeah.
So there you have it. Take care of yourselves. Really pay attention to mental health. Know that it's more than the illnesses.
Yeah.
Just understand that it's way more than that. That's just one part of it, right? Mm-hmm. And we actually want to, if we can, avoid getting there, right?
Yeah.
On a regular, you know, that's why we go to the doctors once a year, to check up on our bodies and see if there's anything that might be starting to show up that we can prevent from becoming this huge problem that we're going to have to encounter later. So start doing that for yourself with your mental health. Start looking at it that way and start taking care of it. So, Julie, thanks so much for coming in.
Everybody,
go back and listen to her show. Many of her episodes you're going to find that relate to what we were talking about today. And there's really even deeper things over there just waiting for you. I mean, it's a wonderful show. It's a great show that's really bringing a lot of awareness. And personally, to me, it has helped me discover things about myself and about those around me, and kind of like encounter them, just prepare me really to go and face them in a with a better mentality, I guess. It's really what it is. Just not completely blinded, but just some understanding. And that has been really helpful. So for that, I thank you, Julie.
Thank you.
So check out Healthy Minds, and thank you for sticking with us. And I know it was a longer show than intended, but I think it was necessary and it's worth it. And, you know, as you said, we could sit here and talk and just continue to talk for the rest of our lives.
People get whole degrees in this and then they still talk, right? So
thanks, everybody. Have a wonderful Wednesday, and we will be back on Monday. Take care.
Bye.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.